Thank you and bless you once again for this time together. We thank you for your Ruach HaKodesh, because without him walking alongside of us, leading us and guiding us and directing our paths, we tend to stumble and fall short, fall to the side. We like that he keeps us on a straight path when we listen to him. Let your words come forth today, Lord, through your servant, in a way that people will understand and they will hear what you are saying. In Yeshua's name, amen. Be seated. The first question I wanted to ask, and that's why this dovetails in wonderfully from Kathy's request and what she said, I just want to ask a question. I do want to show of hands, actually. How many of you have always walked in his grace? Always. How many are walking in his grace now? I submit to you that we have always walked in his grace. We're not aware of it. If you think about some of the things that have happened to you and around you throughout your life, oh yes, you'll recognize that you are walking in his grace, because his grace is sufficient. I'm surprised Jerry didn't ask me for the title of the message, but I do have one, Jerry. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about what if tomorrow never comes. What if tomorrow never comes? It's interesting, some of the things that I thought the Lord wanted me to talk about today were nowhere near what he wanted me to talk about. It always happens that way. It's interesting that I was chatting with Kathy on Facebook last night. I says, "Jerry's message ready just in case?" Because I'm not feeling it. And she knew what I meant by that, and I'm sure you know what I meant. I'm not feeling it. It was not there, solidified in my heart, in my spirit, that this is God's message. So what's unusual for me on night before Shabbat service to be up after midnight, and I was. My mom even walked out of her room, and she says, "I thought you were asleep." "No, I'm still seeking." And I began to think, and as I was praying and as I was looking through Scripture, and even as I finally went to bed and said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to reveal this to me in my sleep," because I know that I've been told that sometimes I come in here and I'm grumpy, okay? And I know lack of sleep makes me grumpy, so I didn't want to multiply the grumpiness. So I did go get some sleep. And as I was getting up this morning, I actually had to get up a little earlier because I was going to prepare a salad for the oneg. And it was during that time that I started getting a little more comfortable with what I was receiving in my spirit. Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 25, says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, when we opened the service, we prayed that we focus on today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not the Sukkot camp out. We don't look that far forward. We look here and now. We look at what God's doing with us at this moment, because that's all that's going to count in the end. What God is doing needs to be successful, and to be successful, we have to allow him to do it in his timing. If we don't allow his timing, everything, I don't know how many of you that have tried doing things and you decide, well, I got an idea, so I'm going to launch into it, and then you realize it may have been a good idea, but it wasn't the right time. And so you end up either losing sleep, losing time, losing money, or all of the above, because you launched into something just at the thought and didn't see all the different hurdles that you'd have to go through and go over in order to accomplish the task. James chapter 4, beginning of verse 10. Right. Did I get the right reference? Yes. Okay. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak. That's not the right one. Begin at verse 13. Come now, you who say, tomorrow, or today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. What if tomorrow never comes? What if today is it? What if this is all that you have left? What are you doing? What will you do? What have you done? Because that's all that's going to matter at the end of the day, or at the end of your life, or the end of your existence. There's a song by, it's a book and a song, Chris Tomlin, called The Way I Was Made. And here's what it says, some of the lyrics. Made in your likeness, made with your hands. Made to discover who you are and who I am. All I've forgotten, help me to find. All that you've promised, let it be in my life. I want to be the way I was made. I want to live like there's no tomorrow. I want to dance like no one's around. I want to sing like nobody's listening. Before I lay my body down, I want to give like I have plenty. I want to learn like I'm not afraid. I want to be the man I was meant to be. What if tomorrow never comes? What assurances do we have that there is a tomorrow? Or a next week? You know, I like to watch the weather forecast. You know, I don't think that's wrong. And I like to see what the week is going to be like. But who says I'm going to make it to Wednesday when the temperature is supposed to reach the upper 80s and it's going to be hot and humid? I don't know if I'll be here. You don't know if you'll be here. Only God knows where we'll be if we will still be here. But I want you to take a moment and think about the life that we are living. What are you doing with your life? Are you doing everything that God has called you to do? Are you living for him? You know, I like what Boris said, that we're family. We come together here every Shabbat and worship together and fellowship together. But is that enough? Because that's only one day. It's a very important day. It's a day that God set aside as holy. But it's not everything. Again, we do today for today. But when tomorrow does come and becomes today, what are we doing for God? What are we doing when we leave these doors and we're no longer in one another's sight? We're no longer accountable to one another visually because you're not there. You don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're going. You don't know where I'm going. You begin the day seeking how God wants to use you. I know a lot of us, we wake up in the morning and we pray. And we give him thanks that he woke us up. We give him thanks for the things that we have going on around us. But do we ask him how he wants you to use you? I'd venture to say it. Not a lot of people go that far in their morning prayers and devotion. Are you doing what counts for God and his kingdom? Because again, this is not our home. This earthly kingdom is not ours. We belong to a heavenly kingdom if we are following God and we are people called according to his purposes that have given our lives to him. It's his kingdom that's important. So are we doing what counts for him and his kingdom? Or do you live your life following your priorities, your desires? You can have godly desires, but again, is that what God wants you doing? Is that how he wants you doing it? Because if we're not doing it the way God wants it done, we're just doing our own thing. Are you making the most of your time? You know, you can look at time in every increment and answer that question individually. What are you doing with your minutes? What are you doing with your hours? What are you doing with your days? What are you doing with your weeks, your months, your years? What are you doing? Are you striving for a closer walk with God and striving to make it to his kingdom and show forth his kingdom, his love, his power, his glory, his grace to everyone else that sees you? It's important to consider that. Living in America alone, that's not even counting anything else going on in the world. We're Americans. We're flooded with choices. You go to buy a bar of soap. Which one? You know how many brands there are? You know how many fragrances there are? You know how many different sizes there are of bars of soap? We have so many brands to choose from. How do we make a choice? There's so many, this is my wife's category, so many books to read. My mom too. So many books to read. Which ones do I read? How many of them do I read? How often do I read them? So many choices. Not to mention so many genres of books. So many movies to watch. You know, it's getting harder and harder to go to the theater and watch a movie. But you still have Netflix and Redbox and these things like that where you can rent or buy clean, wholesome movies. But there's still so many that you could watch. That how do I choose? What do I? When do I do it? When am I able to watch any of these movies? And here's where it gets a little bit hard too. Where do I spend my time and money? You know, there's so many times where you have financial difficulty, and it's probably caused because of where you've spent your money, how you've spent your money. Do you dedicate your money to God who provides it and then allow him to direct how you spend? We should. Obviously, we should always choose good over bad and the wise thing over the foolish thing. You know, Boris brought up the whole thing of wisdom from Proverbs. We should be choosing that which is wise. And big challenge for most of us is discerning between the real challenge is between good, the better, and the best. Again, it gets back again to like the soaps. What brand? What's going to be the best? Sometimes it's not the best, but it's the one God wants. So before we make choices, whether it's an activity, a purchase, you should ask yourself some questions. First, is this a personal desire or a godly desire? It's really important to know the difference. Is it worthy of God's time? We might not care that we're spending time doing something that doesn't accomplish anything. But if we're trying to do things for God, is it wasting his time by us stumbling around and not doing it his way? Will it make me a better believer? And will it ultimately bring God glory in my life? Only what you do for Messiah will stand. That's all that really counts. Doing something for Messiah, though, is not limited to just worshiping him, praising him, but it extends. How do you treat your family? How do you treat your friends? How do you treat your neighbors? Because you and I, we're representatives of God. So, do we want to stand before him one day and have him show us all the things we could have done for him? I don't know about you, but I'd feel pretty bad if he showed me I could have done this, and I could have done that, and I could have done that. And if I'm looking from that perspective, I'm going to say you're absolutely right. I not only could have, I should have. But it gets back to, did I seek him first? Did I give the day to him? Did I allow him to direct my every move? Because guess what? At that point, it's too late. You're not going to be able to get the time back. I'm going to tell a little story of something that happened about 6 weeks ago. I wasn't sure that I was going to share this today, and I had some visual aids that I forgot to bring. But it's interesting. Many of you know that back July, the week of July 4th, my wife and I, Mark and Devorah Cole, were in Phoenix. And to back up just a little further to set the stage, back on January 26th, I had some blood work done. And in that results of that blood work, I had high cholesterol, bad cholesterol, low, good cholesterol, high triglycerides, and I was borderline diabetic. My doctor said, I can help you with, he said, first he started talking the medication route. I said, I don't want to go there. He says, okay, I'm glad you said that because I don't want to send you that route. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to agree to do a 10,000 step a day program. Just walk 10,000 steps a day. I said, really? He says, yes, that's been shown to give good results. So I did that. I started that on the 26th of January. When I went back for my three-month checkup, my good cholesterol was up, my bad cholesterol was down, my triglycerides were down, and I quote the doctor, and Batya can tell you, the doctor said, I have never seen such a drastic reduction in the hemoglobin. I went from borderline diabetic to just below the normal limit. Everything was back in order. At the same time, which is not what my goal was, I recorded a 31-pound loss of weight. Well, my doctor wasn't happy about that at first. He wasn't excited about it, I should say. He said, what I want to know is, do you know how you lost the 31 pounds? I said, I do. First of all, you put me on this exercise regimen of 10,000 steps a day, which incidentally was so easy that I was averaging 12 to 15,000 steps a day, so it wasn't hard at all. But I also realized that I've known a long time that I overeat. If we go to a restaurant, I not only eat my food, I finish Batya's food. And that's just the way I did. I just ate and ate. So I told him, so I cut my portions down to a sensible amount, and I started eating more healthy. He said, okay, now I'm happy that you lost 31 pounds. He said, because now we know why you lost it. It's not because you're starving yourself or you're overdoing it. So he was happy. Matter of fact, he was a little jealous because he and I should be around the same weight range, and he was not able to get past a certain weight. He said, but now I see from your results, I just need to go past the 10,000 steps, and I can lose the few extra pounds I have to lose. Anyway, so that brings us up to the fact that I made a life changing decision. That became a new lifestyle for me. Every day, 10,000 steps plus. I've been averaging now as much as 18 to 20,000 a day. And I'm still maintaining my eating habits. As of this morning, my total weight loss has reached 38 pounds. A lot of people recognized that right away. They said they could see it immediately. This suit I hadn't worn in 5 years because it was 4 sizes too big. Now it fits me like it's supposed to. My other suits, I have to... Too small. Yeah. Too small. I was too small. But that brings us to Phoenix. Even if you've never been to Phoenix, I'm sure most of you know, it's hot in the summertime. And we were there in the summertime. So I had to decide, how am I going to keep my walking going? Well, that meant going out earlier and ending later. So going out earlier meant going out in 94 degrees instead of 105 degrees. Going out later meant going out in 94 degrees instead of 107 degrees. So I'm walking out along the golf course. And this is a golf course, to keep in mind, in a desert. Not like your typical golf course with a lot of running water and things going through, but it's a dry desert. So I'm walking through the golf course on my birthday, by the way. This was just before the Coles joined us. And as I'm walking, and incidentally, I'm going through a lot of things just like many of you are, financially and business and things like that. There's a lot of things going on. So as I'm walking and listening to praise music on my iPod, I hear this voice saying, five stones. Five stones. It'd be easier if I actually read some of it directly from my journal. A friend of mine, very good friend of mine, bought me this journal years ago, and the first thing I journaled was this incident. Because I don't journal normally. I just remember things. So while I was walking, and I'm on the golf cart path, so it's paved, and there's nothing else around. And it's funny because I kept wondering, what does that mean, five stones? Well, how many of you know that when you are kind of talking to yourself, sometimes God's listening? How many of you know that God does speak today to us? This experience illustrated that to me more so than ever before. Because this was real to me. I'm looking around when I'm hearing five stones. I'm looking, okay, where's the landscaper? Where's the gardener? Who's out here talking to me? Nobody's around except a roadrunner, some squirrels, lizards, and birds. So then the answer, imagine that, the answer came. I will bring down your Goliaths. Bring down my Goliaths. Okay, I told you I have a lot of things going on in my life. I knew exactly what that meant immediately. So I started looking for, listen very carefully, five smooth stones. I'm on a golf course in the desert. No water to run the stones against each other to smooth them out. There are no smooth stones. I'm looking. Well, Lord, there are no smooth stones. I picked up this. It's all jagged. Oh, this one here is broken in half. Again, when I'm talking to God, he's listening. When I'm talking to myself, he's listening. Did I say five smooth stones? No. Then he said something that brought back to my mind what Yeshua said when the Sanhedrin told him to tell his disciples to be quiet. He said, if they're quiet, the stones will call out. So he equated the stones with the people. God says, I work with imperfect people. Oh, okay, so I don't need imperfect stones. So I've started collecting five stones. It's still difficult because, again, it's not like you're in Israel and you've got a lot and lot and lots of stones laying around. So I just started picking up one and another after another. And some were deformed, and some were broken, and some were crushed down flat, jagged edges, things like that. There's nothing to, I have those five stones at home. I wanted to show them to you. So then I said, okay, so you didn't say five. So I start gathering the stones. As I'm getting back to the room, and I pick up the fifth stone, this, again, it's God's sense of humor. A song came on that I had never heard before. I'm just kind of listening and looking for the stones. The song came on, and it's a song called I Am by Jenny Owens. If any of you heard it, you know it. And she got to the verse where it says, now, Lord, are you sure? He's just a shepherd boy, too small for battle gear and a giant to destroy. What on earth can he do with five stones and a sling? It's not your problem, God replied, because I can do anything. There's a bigger picture you can't see. You don't have to change the world. Just trust in me. Because I am your creator. I am working out my plan. And through you, I will show them. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Now you have my attention. I got these stones. I hear about stones. And the song, if you notice, doesn't say anything about smooth stones either. Okay, so I've got something going right. I've got the stones. All right, now I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop, so to speak. Incidentally, I think I did record it. It was 92 degrees that morning. Yeah, I did record that. Next morning, it's 94 degrees. And I'm walking on that same golf cart path. And I look over in the dirt. And there's a smooth stone. Wait a minute. I walked through here yesterday and I did not see that. I look a little further out from the path and there's a smooth stone. And I clearly got these words. See, if I wanted smooth stones, I would have shown them to you. Okay, so I get the message. I understand. This was a lesson in obedience. It was a lesson in symbolism. Because obviously, I'm not going to take these stones and I'm not going to hurl them at my creditors or I'm not going to hurl them at every person I have a problem with. So it's symbolism. In the symbolism, and I'm not going to go into great detail, I've already seen one of my Goliaths fall. And you know that Goliath had brothers and or cousins. We're not quite sure of the relationship exactly, but that's why the five stones, that's the explanation. David didn't need five stones to kill one giant. He needed five stones to kill five giants. So that means I still have four more giants out there. But Steve gave a testimony a few weeks ago about a relief in his home mortgage. He was applying for loan modification. Well, I've been dealing with that for probably as long as he was, and just this past week, the first Goliath fell. Without going into details, I've been approved to go into the program, reducing my mortgage rate and thereby relieving some of the financial strain. What if tomorrow never comes? How do we spend our time? See, I brought up my story because I was spending my time with God. I was spending my time with him, worshiping, praising, and just seeking him. Let's face it, in the middle of the desert, on a golf course, walking around for an hour, there's not a whole lot to do. So why not focus on him? Tom Heyman has a book that's called In an Average Lifetime. And it shows what the average American does in a lifetime. Some of the things are these. One, he spends 3 years in business meetings. Two, spends 13 years watching television. Three, spends $89,281 in food, and with inflation and everything else, it's probably in the $100,000 range by now. Fourth, consumes 109,354 pounds of food. Well, you can subtract some of that from mine because I've stopped eating so much. Number five makes, and you can insert your own fast food restaurant into this, but he said makes 1,811 trips to McDonald's. Exactly. Yuck. Sixth, he drops $6,881 in vending machines. Seventh, eats, ready for this? And this, I was in this category. Eats 35,138 cookies and 1,483 pounds of candy. Wow, that's a lot of candy. Eight, catches 304 colds. Nine, he's involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents. 10, is hospitalized 10 times. And 11, spends 24 years, guess what, the 20, sleeping. Exactly. By the way, I can tell you from experience, sleeping is overrated. You have to get enough sleep to rest your body, but too much sleep is not good. How much time are you investing in eternity? What are you doing in your life that'll make a difference in eternity? And I want to submit a statement right now that whether you agree with me or you don't agree with me, eternity has already begun. We are living in eternity now. We have not seen the end, but we're there. Because I can't answer these questions for you, though. I can only answer for myself. And clearly, Scripture says that only what we do for Messiah will last. Regardless of what we've done in life so far, we need to determine to make the rest of our days focused and purposed on glorifying Him. That should be our sole purpose. I'm sure you all heard this quote by Edmund Burke, where he said, "The only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." If I ask the question right now, because I don't want to assume anything, are you a believer or are you not? You need to search your heart and make a decision whether that which side you are on. Boris made the statement that we are part of the family of believers, but I don't ever make any assumptions. Is anybody ever asked, in all the years that you've been a believer, are you a believer? People that you know either have heard your words speaking it or seen your actions and know that you are. But when someone meets you for the first time, do they ask you, are you a believer? Do they ever ask you? So I know many of you I could answer that question for, that I know you are, because I've seen your lifestyle. I've heard your words proclaim Yeshua. And that's where the showing, that's where the demonstration comes in. If somebody sees your actions and it's not the actions that will glorify a holy God, they're not going to know what you are. They're not going to even assume that you're a believer. I like this quote, and I'm not sure where it came from originally. Opportunities do not have a shelf life. They're here today, gone tomorrow. How many times have you missed an opportunity to do something for God? He presented the opportunity to you and you didn't act on it, but somebody else had to step in. Someone else had to be brought in because you didn't fulfill it. You know, not long ago, we had a very scary episode here in our family. Jerry, he had a heart attack, but he's here with us today. God still has a work for him today. And I'm sure Kathy, Anthony, Josh, Paul, and Anna are glad that he's still here today. I am too. Those are the names of three people that are no longer with us. They were people I knew personally. One was a very good friend of mine that I used to see every day when I ran San Diego route This was a man who had the kindest heart. He didn't have a lot of money. His wife was in school, become a nurse, so she wasn't making a lot of money. He was a truck driver, and truck drivers like me know that you don't make a lot of money as a truck driver. But he would give you literally give you the shirt off of his back if you needed it. This is a man that rarely had any money in his pocket, but what he did have, he did share. I remember on almost a daily basis, we'd go and stop for our break down in Oceanside, and he'd pull out a bag of food that his wife had prepared, but not just for him. He asked her to give him extra for the guys. And that was his way of being a part, whereas, you know, I was in a position where sometimes I'd buy him breakfast when we'd stop. But I could do that. He couldn't do that. And he was always very humble. One of my supervisors, he hired me at Lucky Stores. He was actually orchestrating a return of me back to Albertsons. 3 days after we made contact with him to start getting things, the ball rolling, I get a call from one of my former coworkers. You're not going to believe this. Dave died this morning. What? We were just talking to him. He was just so happy, so alive. But that's not what God had planned for him. The tragic one ahead of mine. Things got too hard for him. He couldn't provide for his family. He was on unemployment for the past 3 years, and he took his own life. Now his wife is scrambling, trying to keep the kids together, trying to keep the family together. Now she's a single widow with family, with kids. What if tomorrow never comes? I want to say it like this, going back for just a moment. It's what Chris Tomlin said. I want to live like there's no tomorrow. Because tomorrow's not promised. I want to say this. Tomorrow is not certain. Absolutely not certain. We don't know what the rest of today is going to bring for us. What God wants us to do in the rest of this day. I'm going to end with some numbers. Then I'm going to make an invitation based on where are you with God. The Harvest Crusade was last weekend. They had probably 150 or more thousand people in attendance because they had sellout crowds. Sell out in that they had to close the gates because they didn't have any more seats. It was free to attend. So the seating is probably better than 50,000 people a night. So over 150,000 people attended. But that's not the most awesome thing that I found in this. The most awesome part was 11,700 people gave their lives or rededicated their lives to the Lord during the Harvest Crusade last week. Now, I don't know about you, when I heard that, I rejoiced. I rejoiced with the angels in heaven because they rejoiced for one. That was 11,700. And even though some were rededicating their lives, that would be like I was. Because I gave my life to the Lord years ago, but then I went back to doing my own thing. So I had to come back. Many of you have been there. You've been in, out, and back again. And the hope would be that you stay. And you continue doing what God wants you to do. Because what if there is never a tomorrow? What if it never comes? I just want to ask you right now. If you have never... Because I don't know everybody. I haven't been able to speak to everyone and see what your testimony is. See if you have a testimony. So I don't know where you are with God. I don't know if you've ever confessed your sins and received him as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity today to do just that. Maybe you've been on this side, kind of falling out, looking back in, and you need to refill your, you need a refilling, a re-indwelling of the Ruach today. Now's your time. If you want God to be the one directing your every step so that you don't go from one side to the other, you don't turn around and go the other way, now's your opportunity. You can come right now. The elders will be up here to pray for you. But don't think that I can wait till tomorrow, or I'll wait till next week. If God's tugging at your heart now, grab a hold of that lifeline and come on board. Because you know what? There's nothing the world has. There's nothing the world has that's worth giving up in eternity with God. His is the best way. We've got time now, but how much time is left? So I'm going to close in prayer. Let's all stand. If you'd want to come forward, Jerry and Kathy and Batya and I will be at the front. Feel free to come up and we'll pray with you. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank you for your grace. Your grace that's been with us since we were born. We thank you that some of us are becoming more and more aware of the fact that your grace has always been there for us. Your love has always been for us. It's just that we never accepted it. We never recognized it. But Lord, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to stop and recognize that now. We have the opportunity to realize that tomorrow may never come. All we have with you is the now, right now. And that's what we need to live for. We need to live for the present and live it for you. We thank you for each and every one here this afternoon, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts and show us how to please you. If you have to remold our hearts, do it, Lord. Shape us into the men and women of God that you want us to be. Let us set aside all the ideas, the concepts that we've already developed in our minds of how we should be. Wipe that all away and fill us all fresh with your Ruach HaKodesh now. Now we will put all that aside and say, Hineni, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to act today? Which direction do you want to send me? We thank you and we bless you. In Yeshua's name.